Good evening, everybody, and welcome to episode 84 of the Weekly Wind Down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Stacy, the new age old school mom.
And I'm Stacy, the political princess.
Stacy, we're going to need you to put a little bit more like pep in your opening. You're just like, I'm Stacy, the new age old school mom. And we're like, hi.
For half a second, I thought you were talking to me.
No, I was like, never.
Okay. Never
I feel like I
up.
Say it the same every time, so I'm trying to switch it up a little bit so it doesn't sound like, okay, like, you know, monotone. I don't know.
It's always monotone, though. Like, we can be laughing and joking around. I'm like, all right, we're going to start recording. And we're like, ha, ha, ha. I'm Stacy, the new age, old school mom. Like, Jesus, you can pretend like you like us for 3 seconds.
All right, I'll go back to, like, the other way.
What other way? That's how you
I usually say I'm Stacy, the new age old school mom. I'm the one that listens to the podcast. Every day. I know how I sound. I'm trying to change it.
All right. Well, listen to it tomorrow. And when you're like, I'm Stacy, the new age old school mom, your mom listens to us. We'll have her weigh in on your intro.
Okay.
Okay. All right. What's everyone drinking tonight?
Drinking Tuesday night red, just like the Tuesday night white.
Yeah.
And I read the back and it says the exact same thing.
Oh, like, that's lazy.
That is
lazy.
Party foul. Yeah.
But it's actually pretty good. It's really mild and it just tastes like a regular red blend. So
would you say it's more like a Wednesday night red, but not like a Friday night?
Exactly.
It's better than a Sunday night though, because
nobody likes that.
Nobody likes Sundays. Yeah. I want to know what your set. I know what Stacy's Saturday night wine is, Sophia, but I want to know what your Saturday night wine is.
Apothic.
Yeah. We're classy.
Okay. Well, first of all, I didn't even have wine on Saturday night. I had 2 margaritas and fell asleep on the couch.
You are a 60-year-old gay man. I'm telling you. Did you fall asleep watching Antiques Roadshow?
No.
What if I did?
No, you know what's funny is I was making Emily watch videos of vaginal births.
Why?
I don't know, because I thought it would be funny and I thought it would gross her out. So I just like put it on. We were watching YouTube videos.
So you wanted to gross out your roommate and you thought vaginal births.
Yeah, it was literally the first thing that came to mind. I knew I was going to visit one of my friends who just had a baby like the next day. And so it was like, I was thinking about it.
I mean, can't you go to like Dr. Pimple Popper for some gross outs like a normal person? Because
that's so satisfying. That's so satisfying.
Oh my gosh. I don't like the big like cysts.
Yeah, those are
gross.
But
just a regular blackhead.
Yeah, it's real satisfying.
Satisfying.
And you do the whole time, your face is just like, ew, why am I watching this? But you can't stop watching it.
It legitimately will like calm me down.
That's weird.
Like, if I watch it, like, at night before I go to bed, I'm like, this is relaxing to me.
But vaginal births, no.
Not so much.
Huh.
Actually, not all that different looking from some of those, like, cysty blackheads.
Oh.
Not all that different.
I want to know who was like, honey, did you record the birth? Go ahead and upload that on YouTube real quick.
Right? Hey, I don't think everyone has seen my vagina. Let's change that.
Okay.
Let me tell you, that was something.
I'm drinking Vigilance Cimarron, and it's a sustainably farmed red wine out of Lake County in Nice, California. And it says, we are stewards of the land and have a dedication to the planet. That's why our vineyards are certified sustainably farmed. We use sheep to control the weeds between the rows, and our ever-vigilant sheepdogs stand guard over the flock. It is the same spirit that drives us in our obsession to craft wines that honor and respect the earth.
Wow.
And then it says, this Syrah Grenache blend has bright aromas of cherry and strawberry with undertones of white pepper. The mouth-filling flavors comprise of dark cherry, sweet tobacco, and spices with a long, lush finish. And I have to say, for the first time, the funny thing is, Stacy pointed this out earlier, it's vintage and it's 2015, so I mean, I have t-shirts that are older than that. I can actually kind of taste the cherries in this. So, but it's not like cherries like juice. It's just like an aftertone of cherries.
You know what's funny is I was like, none of those flavors sound like they go together, but I really do enjoy a Syrah Grenache little combo.
Syrah Grenache. What are you drinking?
Okay, I apparently am drinking the same kind of thing that Stacey drank on the very first episode. I am drinking the Infinite Monkey Theorem Urban Winery canned white wine, which then we were texting about, like, whether or not it was going to be bubbly. And I was like, okay, good. Prepare myself that it's not going to be fizzy because it's not my effervescent Sophia wine. Totally fizzy.
Oh.
Oh. But you know what? It's pretty good. And, like, the can, super cute. It's black and white and gold. It's got a monkey on the front. Like, it's very hip. I feel very young drinking. I love that it's from an urban winery. That makes me feel young also. And it says it is, it's just their white wine. It says ridiculously good wine in a can. You can drink anywhere. American wine.
America.
So that's the description. Which I think is kind of funny. It doesn't say anything about, like, it's just like wine in a can.
I'll have to try that.
It's super cute.
I had to order mine. Where'd you find yours?
Safeway. Which, let me just tell you, at Safeway, I also found, and I almost got it, but it was like $20. They are alcoholic hot beverages K-cup situations.
What?
That you can just, like, put in your Keurig, and then the alcohol content depends on how much water, like what size you put it on. But they had two things there, and it was $20 for, like, less than 10 of them. I mean, it was probably like 6 or 8. But they had an Irish coffee and a like hard, hot, spiced cider.
Oh. Well, you're going to have to review that one time.
I know. Yeah. I know.
I agree. Because that sounds delicious.
Yes. Doesn't it?
You can also just make coffee and put whiskey in it. Like, and it would probably be less than $10 for 10 cups. That's but you are going to have to try. It's not the same. I know. Don't be a fun sucker. All right. So we are going to talk about the government shutdown. But first, we are going to talk about a documentary that we all watched. I didn't finish it because I got mad at one of the ladies. About American circumcision. So, Stace, why don't you start us off with it?
Oh, my God. I have so many thoughts, I don't even know where to start.
Perfect, you start.
I literally took a page of notes because I wanted to, like, make sure I, like, talked about everything. So I feel like the documentary was definitely leaning towards anti-circumcision. Did you guys both get that too?
100%.
I feel like they didn't get enough from the other side to give a fair, you know, fight.
And I feel like the doctors they had representing the other side were, like, old and, you know what I mean? Like, they, I feel like they did that on purpose.
Totally. And they didn't let them give their side of the argument enough. So it was very one-sided. I also, like, had a question. I think the only thing I really didn't understand was, when they were talking about, like, the study they did to, like, prove if circumcisions protect against STDs and HIV. What I took from it was that it wasn't a controlled, like, study, so they couldn't say one way or another. Is that what you guys got too?
Yeah, but I think that it was the pool that they used was so small that, like, the results really were like 3% or something slightly less than that. But when you take it out of the group, then it makes it seem like it's a lot higher. And that was what I took from it. And then they basically said that they also can find a correlation between, like, people who are circumcised are more likely to use condoms. Therefore, they're more likely to protect themselves against STDs.
Right. I got that too.
But the thing from that really pissed me off was they basically were trying to say, like, that because that's one of the, like, that's the best way to protect yourself from an STD is to use a condom, that men can't be expected to remember to put condoms on. So, like, circumcision is a much better option. Like, let's do something permanent so these men don't have to think about using condoms. And I thought that was kind of bullshit.
Yeah, totally. They said something about, like, it's almost like a vaccine. And they were like, it's not a vaccine. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was silly. But so basically from that so they took people in Africa and they took the same amount of people that were circumcised and uncircumcised and then checked in with them later to see if they had HIV, basically is what I took from it. And then it wasn't a controlled study, so some of them ended up in places that, you know, situations where they are more apt to get it and different things. And so they're saying that's just not true. So they need a new study, because if that's true, if like circumcision is not protecting, if there's no healthy reason to do it, like that's a whole different ball game. You know, if it's only for looks.
Right. And I think the other thing that's kind of skewed about that study is in, like, if you look at a country with kind of the issues that Africa has, like AIDS is much, HIV is much more rampant there. So comparing it to like health, just general care too, is different. Like preventative medicine, follow up care, like,
or their, access to things like condoms.
Their kind of sex education on how HIV is contracted and like all these things. I thought it was kind of a bogus study anyway, because it's apples and oranges. Like the men in America have much different access and understanding and knowledge than men in Africa or South America or so I thought that I didn't understand why they were even quoting from that study anyway, because it's not the same. It's just not the same thing. I was really surprised by, like, when we were talking about getting our son circumcised, I didn't have like feelings one way about it or another, because I never thought about it. It wasn't a, you know, once we found out we were having a boy, someone was like, are you gonna get him circumcised or not? And I was like, I don't know. Like, we have to decide that? Like, that seems like such a permanent question. So when we had first talked about it, our initial response was, no, we're not going to do it, because that's not really our choice to make. And then we started talking to men in our lives and they were like, do it, because he's going to feel weird or look weird or like whatever. Mm-hmm. And they said they didn't feel any certain way about it. So, you know, we made this decision to do it. But this documentary makes you feel real bad about that decision.
It does.
Like, real bad.
One of the things I thought, I do feel like there were some valid points that were brought up.
Sure.
Like, if it is true that there is no way for them to track botched circumcisions, and the fact that, like, Moyles still do them and stuff, which means they're not being performed by a medical professional, like, yeah, those are all, like, serious issues. Now, when he had his done, did they do, like, a nerve block?
I'm not sure exactly. The woman who did the circumcision, the doctor, she was like, this is one of my areas of expertise. And, you know, I like doing these and like whatever. She was really excited about it. He was gone for maybe 15 minutes. And the pictures they show in this documentary of like babies screaming and stuff, he came back in and he was fine. It was like nothing had happened to him.
Right.
So they had to have given him something for him not to have felt it.
Because he
was fine.
That's totally fine. I mean, some of the little contraptions and stuff they were showing, I was like, oh God, like that does seem pretty barbaric. And like, I know like my friend who I went and saw who just had the baby, like she said her husband went with him to go get it done.
Whoa.
And he said they gave like a nerve block. It was less, the actual procedure was like less than 3 minutes. And he never started crying even once. Like he didn't even seem to really notice what was happening at that point after they did that. So I think if they're like, you know, you have the anesthesia and stuff, like whatever. But the thing I thought was weird about that was they talked a little bit about like the pain, but then I thought it was weird that that one lady was talking about like, this is their first sexual experience and it's abusive. Like that I thought was weird. Like the first time that their penis is being touched, it's with pain. And I was like,
yeah,
I don't think that's how any of this works. Like, and how basically that can be so traumatic and triggering and stuff for men. And I was like,
there were definitely good points and some super off the wall
that undermined the good points that I was like, I can't. Right. Well, we all know how sensitive men are now that that Gillette commercial's out. But
yeah. I love that commercial so much.
Well, if that's, if you want to start equating like that's their first sexual experience, then every time I change his diaper, because I have to pull his little foreskin back and clean around his little whatever, that. Then that's, if you're going to count that as a sexual experience, then you're making it like I'm doing something horrific to my son every time I you know, clean him. I treat him with care and don't want him to get infected. Like, you're right. I think some of it was like good points that I was sitting there thinking, wow, I'd never even thought about that. And then they bring these wackadoodles on, and I said, oh no, like I can't.
Yeah. Every single one of those guys had a t-shirt on that said like, talk to me about my foreskin, or like, let me talk to you about your foreskin.
The other thing that kind of rubbed me the wrong way about it was they put a tremendous amount of emphasis on the reason we shouldn't be doing this, and we can debate the reasons all day. What I didn't like about this particular documentary, they put a lot of emphasis on, we shouldn't be doing this because it's taking away sexual pleasure from men. And I'm like, do you know a lot of men who are like, God, I just wish sex felt better. Like,
I can never have an orgasm. It's so
Right. I'm like, they barely last 2-3 minutes now. Like, what is... what?
I mean, but I was intrigued by the... Okay, so if that's where they're at now, okay, here's my thought, right? Is that like guys get off every single time they have sex, and that's just like how life works. So if they're really saying that, like, so what they talk about is the fact that like the foreskin has like fine touch nerves. Mm-hmm. And so that you're basically removing all of those. And then so those, that like gland is exposed. And so instead of being like soft and shiny and glistening, or however the hell else creepy way they described it, that it becomes sort of like drier and it doesn't look the same and whatever. And so you're losing on all those fine touch, you know, things. And I'm in my mind, I'm being like, yeah, what exactly, what guy is like, this isn't really doing it for me. The part I thought was fascinating was when they talked about the fact that like there's less need for lubricant because like it, like they already are sort of like naturally lubricated like underneath their foreskin. I'm like, that doesn't help the girl out even at all if that's who they're having sex
this
with.
This isn't because... about the girl.
But I think they were saying,
but
it
they
does.
Were just like, it's totally, that's what they were saying. They were basically like, well, in like a male female sexual relationship, then there's no need for like lube or anything like that if he has his foreskin. Like, that's not how vaginas work, first of all. Like,
but that doesn't. If that's true, it makes sense that like what I took from it was that, you know, human bodies are made to have things for a reason. You have eyelashes for a reason. You have nose hair for a reason. So to have the foreskin. To have the foreskin that works like a sleeve, that it moves in and out of on its own. Mm-hmm. So you wouldn't need lube because it reduces the friction like on like the like entrance.
But like he wouldn't need lube, not you. That's the part that like I still was a little like weird, not weird, but I was like, I feel like, again, it's just super like male centric and male like pleasure, whatever. But I thought the most fascinating part of it was how they were talking about how like modern day circumcisions are not the same thing as like what's in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And how they became really popular in Europe. I forget when they said, like the 1500s or 1600s or whatever it was, as a way to try and stop men from masturbating.
Yeah, that was super interesting.
Because it didn't have that like nice sleeve, it just moves back and forth, and that cutting that off would somehow discourage men from masturbating.
Yeah,
it didn't work.
That's what started it all.
Yeah,
I don't know. I thought it was, I agree. I wish there had been more discussion from the other side. And I understand like it at this, in this day and age, it's a cosmetic procedure that you either opt to do or you don't opt to do. Even when our doctors talked to us about it, they didn't try to present us with any, the only thing that they said medically was when they're little, it's much easier to clean if they don't have the foreskin. They weren't like, he's less likely to get STD. Like, they didn't say anything like that to us. They just said it's much more difficult to clean if everything is there when they're little. And then when they get older, they can, you know, wash in the shower themselves or whatever it is boys do. So I don't know. I was feeling really guilty about it at first. And then I was kind of like, no, because we talked to men, and no man that I talked to was like, I really wish my parents had, you know, not gotten a circumcision. And I didn't hear any of them say either, like, and just sex, just, I just don't want to have it. Like, I don't know. Yeah. It just wasn't. And maybe Lincoln will feel differently when he grows. I don't know how he'll feel about the choice that we made for him, like, or if he'll feel anything about it. I don't know. I don't know.
I just felt like it was a little odd. The men who were on there that were saying basically they felt violated because they had been circumcised, which is interesting because I know somebody who, well, I don't know them, but I have a friend of a friend who got circumcised in his 20s because of, you know, like, I mean, just sort of, I guess, societal norm is that, you know, you are. And so I think just culturally for him to not be was sort of odd. Like, it didn't fit in with his, I don't know what the decision was behind it, like, for his parents, but I don't feel like they talked to anybody like that. Like, they talked to men who had been circumcised, who were mad about it and felt violated and are now using these contraptions to regrow their foreskin. They have these things where you, like, I don't know, like, just shove them in your pee hole and stretch out your remaining foreskin to try and make a little turtleneck you pull back over it. But they didn't talk to anybody who was like, I, as an adult male, have made the decision to get circumcised, and here's these reasons. I didn't think it was a very fair.
Well, circumcision is also a really, like, it's a United States thing. People all over the world aren't doing circumcisions. I didn't realize how concentrated it was in the United States, where when we were talking about it earlier, it's like 85% to 90% of American men are circumcised, where, you know, in the UK it's only 3.5%, Spain it's 7%. Like, it is really predominantly a United States thing.
I wouldn't know what to do.
If I could go back and do it over, I don't know what I would decide. Like, I don't. I think they should do a better job of informing parents before they make that decision. Not just, hey, what do you want to do? Like, hey, here are some pamphlets. And of course, I'm not saying like, oh, it's their responsibility to educate me. It was my responsibility to educate me. But I didn't even know where to start on a topic like this because I didn't even realize it was such a debated. I am so far removed from the world of penis discussions that I don't. I don't know.
It really, the other thing that rubbed me the wrong way about this was when they tried to equate it to female circumcision.
I was going
to
ask you what you guys thought about that.
Fundamentally not the same thing.
Right. That's not fair. Okay. To say, like, we're going to do this to a guy, he's still going to have normal sex. Like, it's fine. We're doing it for health reasons. But for a female, we're going to take away something that actually is going to make sex worse. For no reason. No health benefits.
No, like, we just don't want females to have any sort of, like, pleasure having sex. Like, that's a very different.
That's not comparable. And it was not fair that they were comparing it, saying, well, why is it okay for boys but not for girls? And the guy that pissed me off the most, he said, you know why it's okay? Because due to socialization around gender, we think male bodies are more expendable and female bodies are more to be nurtured and protected. He said that's why it's okay. Yeah, that's why, dude.
Right. Oh, we get nurtured and protected. That's why.
Yeah.
Hashtag me too.
Yeah, I think it ends up being like a really personal decision. I wish there was more. I wish I had heard this debate before. You know, I didn't even think about it. We did put some thought into it, but it wasn't. Maybe we didn't research everything we were supposed to be. I hope Lincoln's not mad about it. I don't think he will be.
I think you're fine because honestly, if I...
He's an American, so it's normal here. He may not be normal if he went somewhere else, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought...
I think I would be afraid of... I've never seen one that's not circumcised, and I feel like I would, like, go, ah!
Well, Yeah, right. But and Peter.
I know. You'd be like, it's still dressed.
So ironically, like,
very even, formal.
Like, put a little bow tie on it. Little top hat. Do, 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 do. Spinning a cane.
Oh, that's real dirty. So I'm on this Facebook group where people just talk about like weird stuff. And every night they ask an after dark question. And it's like, it's usually something sexual. So they said, like a month ago, what's your preference? Like circumcised, uncircumcised, or you don't know, or you don't care. So I went through the thing and I tallied it up and it was 48 women commented. 13 said must be circumcised. No matter what, it creeps me the hell out. 6 said must be uncircumcised. Like I prefer it. 27 said, I don't care. And out of the 27, 10 of those said, I do it all the time with uncircumcised and I feel no difference whatsoever. It's totally fine.
That's what I would be curious about is do they feel the difference?
Right. 10 said, nope, don't even know the difference. And then 2 said, I don't know. I've never even seen one. So I feel like it's becoming more like the social norm. It's not as weird. You know, when they say like, oh, I'm going to get my boy circumcised so girls don't go, ah, what's that? Or boys tease him in the locker room or whatever. I feel like it's going to become more like acceptable.
Right.
It seems like.
I agree. Don't you love talking about penises? Can we just agree?
I don't have a problem talking about penises. They're part of the human body. Like, it doesn't stress me out. I look at one every day.
No, I'm not saying it would stress you out. I'm just saying, can we agree that circumcised or uncircumcised penises just look weird?
They look weird.
They're just weird.
Yeah, I had one lady tell me today, what did she say? It looked like God sneezed and like snot flew out of his nose and it made a penis. Like, that's
what the hell? Yeah.
I don't know about that.
I think it's a kind of, it's a personal like family decision. I understand why people wouldn't want to do it now. And I also understand why people would want to do it. I don't think there's anything wrong with either way. I mean, I was nervous when they took him in to get circumcised because I had actually read about like them accidentally cutting the whole tip off and like, or so I was nervous on that because I'm like, do we really need to do this? Like, what if they botch it and then he's really jacked up, you know? Mm-hmm. But everything turned out okay. And I mean, like I said, he didn't come in crying. Yeah. It was only red and like swollen. Like, we had to put Vaseline on it for about a week, I would say, at the most. And then it was completely healed. Just so,
in like thick diaper.
Well, because they're peeing on it constantly and it's in a diaper. So you put Vaseline on it so it doesn't get infected and nothing gets in the little open wounds. But even when we put that on, he never cried or, for being such a sensitive area, I guess, he didn't seem to be too bothered by it. So that makes, when I was thinking back when I was watching this, I was like, he just didn't seem to have that bad of an experience with it. So
I guess my takeaway from the whole thing is if they come out with a new study that says one way or another, if it has health reasons, if it protects you from STDs, HIV, whatever, urinary tract infections, I don't remember all the stuff they listed. If they come out with a new study that says one way or the other, like, then people will make better decisions, basically. Right, everybody thinks it's for health reasons right now. It's cosmetic and health, but health obviously is more important. So if they come out and they say, like, it doesn't protect you from anything, it's just cosmetic, then I think we'll see a huge shift. But
It does help reduce UTIs and because especially when they're younger, maybe not when they're older, but when they're not able to like necessarily clean it out properly, like it does help protect from UTIs and infection and like yeast infections and stuff. So
that totally makes sense
when they're younger. Yeah. And then I did read something that it also helps protect from HPV. So
that was the other thing that they talked about in the.
You're totally right. If someone came out with like definitive, like, no, it's 100% cosmetic, then if Lincoln grew up and had a son, I'd be like, you really need to, you know, think about it. Like, it's, I wish I'd had all the information when I made the decision for you, and you should think about it.
But nobody should feel guilty for doing it 30 years ago or 10 years ago or like you. Like, until they come out with different studies, it is what it is. That's what you make the decisions that are best for your child based on your knowledge. And that's all you can do. There's no right or wrong answer.
It definitely wasn't done in malice or anything.
No, of course, no, not at all. I was just curious too, because they did talk about like when they were talking about like the botched ones where you get like an imperforate penis or whatever, it all just like, like goes mad nowhere. They were talking about how like if some men have penises that are like crooked, that's because of the amount of like scar tissue from being circumcised. And I was like, I wonder if that's true.
Me too. I told Ty. I was like,
is that true? Is that sometimes true? Are sometimes penises just crooked? Like, right.
I thought it was like one of those things like your one boob is bigger than the other.
Right.
Some have a crooked one and some don't. So right. It's just a thing.
Well, it would make sense that some are just naturally crooked because like some of us have one foot's bigger than the other, like one ear is lower than the other, like your eyes aren't always perfectly symmetric. Like it's, don't be so sensitive about your penises. Like no, the woman or man who loves you doesn't care if your penis is crooked. They just don't. It's not a big deal. So all right, have we fulfilled our penis quota for I don't think sure. I've said penis that many times like in my entire life. Penis. Okay.
We should really talk about balls.
Oh.
They're always neglected.
I know. So left out.
Do you really want to talk about balls?
Nope.
Do you think our target audience wants to hear about balls? I do. The government shutdown. Longest one in American history.
Man, look at him, setting records.
I got asked on, I didn't personally get asked, but a friend of mine had posed a question on Facebook saying, you know, what would you consider a compromise? And I'm gonna start here with this discussion because number one, I think this entire thing is juvenile. Like, I really do. I think... I understand what the Democrats are saying by, you know, saying you can't give in to a toddler throwing a tantrum. Because then he's asking for $5 billion now. And if we cave now, what's going to stop him from asking for something more or, you know, something bigger down the road? I understand that thought process, but I also know when a toddler throws a tantrum, you don't cross your arms and throw a tantrum right back at them. Like nothing gets accomplished that way. So what I would actually like to see, my version of a compromise, and then we can talk about like the repercussions of the shutdown and stuff. One, DACA recipients have to be protected immediately. They need to be made citizens. That's it. Like they've been here their entire lives. Stop fucking around with them. Stop leaving them scared. They're doctors, they're military, they're police. This is their home. They don't remember anything else. Stop dicking them around. Make them citizens. Yep. Like that's the bottom line. Number two, Democrats don't want open borders, despite what everyone fucking thinks that we do. But I also don't think we're in a position to dictate what type of border security Arizona needs versus Texas versus Southern California. So I think border funding should be turned into a block grant program, and the states are given a certain amount of money and they can do with it what they want based on where they are. Like when you hear these different areas interviewed, some places they would really like a virtual fence where it's not obstructing their view from the Rio Grande. Like you're talking about people's properties and stuff down there. Some places they need more personnel. Like not every place is an urban environment where a wall would be efficient. Some places is sprawling landscape where a wall, you're cutting into people's farms, into their livestock and stuff. And border patrol response time is sometimes anywhere from a few hours to a few days. So give people in those areas the money they need to determine what type of border security they need, because they are experts where they live. Mm-hmm. Stop thinking that just erecting a large structure is going to solve everybody's. Nothing is ever that easy. Everything is nuanced. There's always black and white. Like, so just stop fucking around. But I do think our borders, we're falling behind in the technology world. They need more money. They need to update their processes. They need to be able to create humanitarian responses, which brings me to my number three thing. We are not set up to deal with asylum seekers. the way that they're coming here in droves. And you can think what you want about asylum seekers, but our Constitution says that you can seek asylum in this country. If you want to talk about the Constitution, let's talk about the Second Amendment too, because I got some shit to say about that. But in our Constitution, if you want to come here because you're running from something, our country says we will give you an opportunity to voice your concern and we will deem whether or not we'll take you. We're not set up to do that right now. So we need to actually build facilities and put personnel in place that can process these claims in a thoughtful and responsible manner, that they're sitting in front of a judge for longer than 22 seconds at a time when they spent 6 months trying to get here. That number four, have some fucking empathy. God damn it. Have some empathy for some people, because I'm real tired of you guys.
Yeah.
What is that noise?
Oh, Piper's digging in her bed. Sorry. Oh. Anytime you hear a weird noise, Piper.
And my last one of like what I envision as a compromise, like everybody getting all their sides met, or all their, not everyone. If someone is completely happy with a compromise, you're doing it wrong. Like everybody has to give something and everyone has to get something, which is why I think, we should put more money into border security, but it should be decided where they are. We also need to beef up our humanitarian effort to help these people once they get here. Bad. Children should not be dying within our control at customs. And the last one, and what I think is the most important is, take off your fucking team jerseys and realize the nuance in this conversation. And if there was an easy solution to this problem, it would have been solved decades ago. A wall and no wall is not going to either solve or not solve our immigration problem. And I really, really wish they would stop treating it as, well, if this happens, everything will be fine and Trump will be happy and we can reopen the board. Like, it's not that easy. It's just not. And stop defending everything the Democrats are doing just because they're going against Trump. Like, we have to meet somewhere in the middle on this, because this isn't an issue that arose underneath the Trump presidency. It has been going on for a really long time and it does need to be fixed. The immigration system needs to be fixed. It does. So I'm in that sense, I'm trying to be optimistic about it, and I'm glad it's being addressed and I'm glad it's being looked at. I think Trump's solution is simplistic and narcissistic and ridiculous. And I wish smarter people around him would say, here's what we're going to do. You're still going to get your wall in certain parts, but we're not going to do it everywhere. And lastly, you don't get to leverage what you want on the backs of American workers, federal workers, which is what really pisses me off. You're holding up, you know, survivors, which is an abused women's center in our area. They got their funding cut by like 65%. Because of this government shutdown, which is horrific. They're going to be turning away women and children that have no place to go because they're in abusive relationships because of a wall, because of a fucking wall. And that makes me so mad. And if you want to talk about welfare, we can, but I know some people in my community, because I'm on Healthy Adams County, they really need their SNAP benefits, like legitimately need them. They have four kids at home and this is how they make ends meet. And they are working. You're keeping food from these children. I'm not talking about people that are abusing the system. I mean, legit, like now they're at food pantries. Like it's bad. It's all bad. This isn't how you win friends and influence people, you dumb dumb. Yeah. And I'm tired of hearing the Republicans say, well, just give him what he wants then. We don't negotiate with fucking terrorists. And this is a terrorist. Like, you can't say, I want this or you're not getting anything. Like, this isn't a real estate deal, you asshole. This is people's lives. That's my spiel on the government shutdown.
No, yeah, I feel like I just agree with all of that. Yeah.
What, Stace? Yeah. What do you think since you've been seeing all the Republican views? How do you feel about being our Republican expert?
I think like the posts that I'm seeing are super like sad. A lot of them. Some of them are false, very obviously, but like some of them like. I'm seeing a lot of stuff about the crisis at the border, and I think there's a lot of fear mongering. Mm-hmm. I'm also seeing all the stuff about the Democrats are partying in Puerto Rico.
That is not what's happening.
Hold on, let her finish.
I'm seeing a lot of people, a lot of Republicans are sharing crime stories about illegals that have committed crimes, and they're saying, like, where's the justice for the victim in the crime? So lots and lots of sharing of that. And then a lot of it's not a shutdown, it's a standoff. Lots of those memes.
What do you think about all that?
It's just, I don't know. It's frustrating to see both sides seeing it so differently, and you can't even have a conversation about it. We are at war with each other, and that's crazy to me. Like, you can't even say, like, your thoughts about it without somebody saying, no, but what about, you know, like, the crime? What about the drugs coming over? What about this? And you're like, okay, but, you know, a wall is an expensive, not even good fix. So let's talk about other things. No, like, it has to be the wall. You guys promised us the wall. You guys promised that, like, the wall would happen. No, Trump did. You know, like.
Yeah, he also promised Mexico was going to pay for it.
Yeah. So I don't know. It sucks to see just the country split.
Yeah, and I think one of the big misconceptions is, like, this whole, well, Democrats just want open borders and we're just trying to protect all of you. And,
yep.
You know, and that's, I have personally never heard one, and you guys can correct me if you have, I've never heard a Democrat say we should just open the borders. No Democrats never. I know just open the borders and let whoever wants to come in without any vetting or anything. Like, I've never heard anyone I know say that. There has to be, we're terrible at managing the border. That's what we're really bad at. And I think everyone can agree. We need to be better at that. But to say what works in California will work in Arizona, will work in Texas. You're talking about 2,000 miles. Like, that's not even logistically possible. Like, you cannot, certain parts of it are backed by cities. Other parts are people's private land. Some of it is waterways. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just, you can't say that this one solution will fix everything, all while saying no one's even paying attention to boats or airplanes or
tunnels.
Like, yeah, drugs in this country are a problem, but they're not only coming from the Mexican border. And why don't we, if you want to discuss that, then you can't in the same breath be saying, well, fuck the people who are ODing. Why are we handing out NORCOM shots and, like, bringing them back to life? Like, you don't get to have it both ways. Like, drugs come into this country. Drugs are made in this country. Drugs also come in this country from China on boats and on planes. But you're okay with not letting TSA workers come to work for your fucking wall. Like, it's just so nonsensical to me that all of it is on the backs of 800,000 federal employees who can't feed their families.
Who are literally getting check stubs in the mail that say $0.00.
Yeah.
Like, that seems like a good use of money. Let's mail some check stubs for nothing.
Well, and this whole like thought process of, well, they're getting pretty much a paid vacation. No, they're not.
Well, no.
Their mortgages don't stop because the government shut down. Safeway isn't taking an IOU. Like, credit card companies charge, like, interest. Like, there's, you can't.
At least there are people that are being super generous, and there's stores and restaurants and things like that are, like, donating things and giving things to, you know, people and who are not getting.
All the banks and cell phone companies are giving forgiveness for late payments or setting up payment plans and stuff. Like, that's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice to see, but, like, we shouldn't ever have to get to that point. Like, shutdowns, if you're going to actually let it happen, are meant to last for a day. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not meant to be long term. It's sort of a bigger version of, like, why can't I think of what it's called? What's it called when they don't stop talking?
Oh, filibuster?
I had too much wine. A filibuster, thank you. It's like the budgetary, it's like the budget block version of a filibuster. Like, we're going to sit here and we're going to, you know, we're going to force you into a stalemate, and then we have to come to a compromise, because we wouldn't be in this situation. It's not like the Democrats were gonna let this happen, you know, because it's all our fault, apparently, over something like not getting your way entirely. And I think that's sort of where a lot of it goes. I think Trump is unwilling to compromise at all. And the Democrats are saying, no, like, you have to compromise. But the way it gets portrayed is that we are doing this because we didn't get exactly what we wanted. And, like, that's not the case at all. And I think that explanation of it is one of the things that really makes me mad. Like, usually the end result of a shutdown is some sort of compromise because you weren't able to reach it to begin with. But then making it look like the Democrats are complaining because they can't get their way, that's not the case. It's opposite. It's opposite. We're not saying we're going to take only what we want and not do any and not have any sort of compromise, or we're going to keep the government shut down. It's that you have to budge a little. You have to. That's what a two-party system is about compromise. And so I think that's one of the things that, like, pisses me off more than anything is this, like, you can't even find where the truth is. You can't find the news, especially on Facebook or whatever. It's just people are so unwilling to compromise even on what they perceive as the truth. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, we're unwilling to compromise on what facts are. And that used to be something that you couldn't argue because a fact is just a fact.
Right.
But now it's like, we're not even compromising on our ideals or on what we want to see happen. It's we can't even compromise on what the truth is. And that's super fucking scary to me.
Well, Trump is I did hear a Republican on the Daily today. He is the only Republican House member that is a Republican. All the other border House congressmen or congresspeople are all in Democratic jurisdictions. He's the only Republican. He also happens to take up about 900 miles of the border. That's where his congressional district is.
Interesting demographic. I didn't realize.
And he's African American, and 70% of his constituency is Latino. So it's a very interesting. And he was actually on the Daily today, and he was saying he has broken from the party, from his party, and said, "Oh, a wall is not. It's not going to work." Because you don't understand the intricacies of what's actually taking place down here. And he said, in some areas, sure, a wall is going to be super effective, but what fits over here doesn't fit over here. And I can't in good conscience. They asked him, Michael Barbaro asked him, like, well, are you taking a lot of heat from breaking from the president? And he said, the president is not my boss. The House Majority Leader is not my boss, and the House Minority Leader is not my boss. I answer to 800,000 Texans, and they don't want this because it won't work here. He goes, okay. I'm not worried about what other areas are doing. That's not my concern. It won't work here. But he wants virtual walls. He wants early detection systems. He wants a fiber optic cable run underneath so they can detect people crossing, and so that these really remote rural areas can get high-speed internet access that they don't have access to right now, to increase education level. Like, this is a Republican that that's, I'm like, well, I could get out behind you.
Like, yeah. That's one of the things that pisses me off more than anything is the hypocrisy of the Republicans in general. Because aren't you for states' rights?
Yeah, exactly. Let states figure it out.
A decision on mm-hmm. a state level.
Right. Let states figure it out.
That's the stuff that drives me nuts. The hypocrisy of, and I don't want to throw everybody in there, but in my own personal experience, it's like the, you know, it's the same thing that all the Christian Republicans are super quick to not want to help anybody, which sort of is anti what they preach the rest of the time. It's the same thing. You can't preach how you're a constitutionalist and not want to support the Constitution. You can't preach that you're for states' rights, but we're going to have this one blanket solution that's going to solve all our problems. It totally goes against everything you stand for.
Right. And I think, honestly, if Democrats were to say, we're going to give $20 billion to border security, but we want the states and the areas themselves to decide how that money's spent, everyone's happy.
Right.
Everyone's also happy.
Aren't some of these things, especially if you look at just a wall, but if you just kind of increase border security and you do those sorts of things and you open up these centers where we can actually process and deal with, asylum seekers. Doesn't
in that a thoughtful and humanitarian way. Right. Like, we can do this in a good way.
Does that not create jobs also?
Well, and I've said this on here before, but I think what it really comes down to as Americans, instead of worrying about if we're Democrats or Republicans, we really need to take a good, long, hard look at what our values are.
We're not even good people.
What do you want to, and I understand the whole, we need to take care of our, certain people love to throw out the veterans, but they only care when there's something else going on. We need to take care of our veterans and our homeless. You don't give a shit the rest of the time. You only care. But
it's not zero sum. Again, we can care about both.
We really need to think about what type of values we have. And like we've also said on here, empathy doesn't necessarily equal endorsement. You can say, I don't want just anybody coming over the border, but I also don't want them held against their will for 12 to 18 months. Like that, those two things can coexist. I want to create an environment where they're able to see an actual lawyer, because whether you like it or not, as soon as you set foot on the soil and you claim asylum, you are entitled to legal representation and to see a judge. You don't have to like that. It's just what the Constitution says. So
no, I'm a constitutionalist. I don't want that.
So you have to decide. You may want them to go home, but they are entitled, per our Constitution, to a fair defense and to be heard and for a judge to decide whether or not they can stay here. That is their constitutional right as soon as they step foot here. But we don't have the personnel to deal with that. So you can say, I want background checks beefed up. I want to know if they've committed a sexual crime in 14 different countries, or I want everyone run through Interpol. So I know whether they were in Honduras or Nigeria or Mexico, if they've committed a sexual crime. Cool. But we have to put the systems in place to accept those people. And just saying, no, we're going to fucking build a wall and shoot anyone who comes within 10 feet of, or 100 feet of it, that is not a value system that anyone envisioned when this country was created. It's just not. So if you want to be...
You mean when we came over here from another country
and stole the land from
religious prosecution and stole... Yeah. Yeah. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah.
When we immigrated here? When we all came here illegally.
Not all of us. There's some Native Americans in this country. Yeah. So,
but when all the people causing all this fucking nonsense did that.
Well, and anyone who lives in California, I hate to tell you this, you stole that land from the Mexicans.
Right.
You 100% did. Yeah. You 100%. Not stole, but you agreed to take the... Yeah. Yeah. You took land from Mexicans. Okay. That's... If anyone has any final thoughts about... Grow the fuck up. Just grow the fuck up.
That right now, like, we live in what used to be Mexico, mm-hmm. but we stole it. So now we're gonna...
We didn't actually steal it. There was a compromise made. We signed some papers. Like, it was a thing, but yeah.
And then we came in and we're like, now we're gonna put a wall up. You're gonna pay for it.
But that's the whole attitude. We have to decide. Mm-hmm. We can't just be like, no, this is my way. Like, we all have to be willing to give a little bit. We do.
You can't compromise there either. Weird. We got some personality flaws.
Take off your fucking team jerseys for 10 minutes. Yep. Be grown-ups. Stop being such assholes.
Be human.
And remember that these are people you're talking about. They're not all of them are here. We also have to, like, can we just come to a general consensus that everybody who's trying to come in this country doesn't want to harm you and doesn't want to harm your family? Are there some? For sure. I'm sure there are. There are people in this country that want to rape and murder you. Like, sorry to tell you, but that's why you lock your doors at night. That is why you have police forces, because people in your own communities are going to hurt you. So are there immigrants that are going to do the same? I'm sure there are. But statistically speaking, they're much less likely to commit crimes. They're much less likely to hurt you. Are there some?
They are fearful of deportation.
I wish instead of people giving into their very worst instincts, they would give into their better instincts and want... I'm not even a Christian. And why am I preaching do no harm? You don't have to like them, but you don't have to hurt them. That's what it comes down to. Like, no, you don't have to keep them in your homes, but you also don't have to go out of your way to make their life harder. Mm-hmm. You don't. Give them a chance. You don't know what they've been through.
Not when it literally doesn't affect you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's real funny. People up here in Pennsylvania have some real fucking strong opinions about immigration. I'm like, name one immigrant you know. Name one. One. That's not from Italy or Germany or like, name one brown person that you personally know.
Go ahead. I'll wait.
Because I know lots. I know lots and lots of brown people, and they're not going to hurt you.
Yeah.
Anybody have any other thoughts about the shutdown? Grow the fuck up. That's my final thought.
I like it. Yep, that one.
All right. What are you guys watching this week?
Did I already talk about Love After Lockup? Lockup.
Oh my God, I love it.
It's so good. Super guilty pleasure, but I feel like I already talked about it.
Not that I remember.
Okay, I'm going to say two then. It's like people that write to prisoners and then they get out and they're like engaged and planning a family and they've never even lived with this person. And
what could go wrong?
It's just such a guilty pleasure. It's so good. And then my other one is the one that everybody's talking about on Netflix, which is Tidying Up with Marie.
Kondo.
What's her last name? Kondo. I've only watched the first episode, but I really liked it, and I'm going to watch them all, because it's not like, I expected it to be kind of like one of those shows on TLC where it just like shows you how to organize something, and it's like, just get off your ass and go do it. But it's not. She's really cool and like actually has good tips for it. So those are my two that I'm obsessed with.
Stacey?
Okay. Right now I'm currently toying with the idea of rewatching Game of Thrones from the beginning because they announced a premiere date. So I'm thinking about that because I really want to be prepared for these next six episodes that are the last episodes that are ever going to happen. Obvi. But other than that, I will say Love After Lockup. I was watching the first season, and there's one that's so funny, and this poor chick had recently converted to Mormonism.
Yes!
And so, like, all of her Mormon friends throw her a bachelorette party, and her friend who's, like, not Mormon kind of puts her on blast and lets them know that, like, she's marrying somebody who's in prison, and it is legitimately the funniest thing I think I've ever seen.
Yes. So funny.
So, other than that, I obviously watched the vaginal births. That was a thing. But I am almost finished with Surviving R. Kelly.
We're going to talk about that in 2 weeks, so don't.
Don't spoil it.
Talk about future watches. I don't know if anybody else saw the announcement about Steve Carell's new show, Space Force.
Pew, 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 pew.
I can't wait. I'm so excited, A, to have Steve Carell back on TV. B, that somebody thinks this is dumb enough that we should have a TV show about it. Like, I'm so here for it. I think everything about that is delightful, and I sort of can't wait for it.
I haven't really watched TV this week. I've been oddly busy, but my wife and I did go see Tyler Henry, the Hollywood Medium, last night. He did like a live show. I believe in that kind of stuff. My wife does not. She does think Tyler Henry has, she does think he has some abilities that she can't explain away. So it was just really good. He was really entertaining. He's really sweet. He's this 21-year-old gay boy. And like someone, you got to put questions in like a jar, and his mom was there and she would read them in between like his readings. And one of the questions was really simple. It was, what's your favorite color? And he was just like, indigo, obviously. Like, it was such a... And he was like, no, if it was really obvious, I would have said hot pink, because let's be real. And it was just, he came off, I don't know him personally, obviously, but he came off as just really sweet and sincere. And it was really entertaining. And we've only been out three times since the kid was born. So it was just nice to get... Although, I'll tell you what, 9 o'clock hit, and I was like, I'm so tired. How long is this show gonna last? Because we still have to drive home and pick the baby up. And so it's, that's all I've watched. I am gonna watch R. Kelly this week, but I didn't have time for this episode. So,
okay, that's super funny that you said that, because I had tickets to see a show last Friday, and we ended up having to switch them to this coming Sunday's matinee. And I was like, thank God. I mean, it's a quick show. Like, it's one act and it has no intermission. But I was still like, it's hard on Friday night to go see a show that starts at 7, that's 3 hours long. And then we have to get back from the city. And then I get home and it's like after midnight. I can't do that anymore. I do have to tell you guys, I'm so excited because the show we're seeing it this Sunday. We're seeing Come From Away. Are you guys familiar with that at all?
No.
Okay, it's a musical. It's based on a true story about a it's like, it's so badass and it's such a cool like you would think it was made up. Like, you wouldn't think this is a true story. So it is the true story of a flight from Paris to Texas, I think, on 9/11 that gets rerouted like once they close down all the airspace in the United States to Gander, which is, I'm pretty sure, like in the Netherlands or something, to this tiny little town. And this plane has to land there and they have to stay there for like a couple of days. And the entire town, this tiny itty bitty little town, takes like all of the crew and everybody on the flight and stuff and basically just like takes care of them.
Wow, that's like, cool.
Such a cool story. But the captain of the flight is also, her name is, her last name is Bass. I forget her first name, but she's like a real lady. She was the first female pilot for American Airlines. She also piloted the first all-female crew on any sort of like commercial airline. So it's just super, like, it's super cool. It's crazy that this is like a true story. Because it's so many cool things of her being like the first female pilot for American, her being like the first, you know, piloting the first female crew and all of these things happening. So I'm super excited to see this.
What's it called?
Come From Away.
All right. What's everyone obsessed with this week?
Okay. I know we only have like 2 minutes left, but I'm just going to say.
We're in charge of our own podcast. We can do whatever we want.
I can't believe we didn't talk about Trump serving McDonald's. That's all I'm
going to say. Oh, my God. That's right. Fuck.
Okay, to me, it totally comes across like, I did it myself. I made dinner. You didn't make dinner. You went to McDonald's and Burger King.
But I paid for it. I paid for it. I paid for it.
You DoorDashed food. And then like,
but I paid for it.
He didn't even Mrs. Doubtfire it. He didn't even take it out of the packaging and put it on his own plate.
I think, honestly, like, the greatest thing to come out of this is the fucking memes. The memes are so
for sure. For sure.
So good.
Because in the big scheme of things, this doesn't really matter in, like, the big scheme of things. But no. It's like, you're just such a garbage president.
It's such good meme fodder.
Just, okay, two things. Number one, if Obama had done that, can you imagine what people would be saying?
Nope. Dad. Well, yeah, I mean, I can. Yeah.
These guys are going to go and tell their grandkids someday, I had dinner at the White House. And they're going to say, no way, what was it like? And they're going to say, we ate McDonald's. Seriously?
Mac. Yeah. Well, and the thing is, like, I really, like, I'm not one of those people that I don't freak out over every little thing Trump does. But if he had just thought about this for a second, like, I get it. The government shut down. Like, your staff wasn't there to make you. You could have literally had any restaurant in the D.C. area cater this that would have even presented something.
Even Olive Garden caters.
Right. Like, you.
Come on, dude.
You could have done a million things besides serve fast food.
Damn funny would it be if he got taco trucks?
That's actually not a bad idea. I would have given him more props, but that's real ironic. Yeah, to get taco trucks. But it would have been better food than Big Macs.
Although I'm so hungry on this diet that I'm on that I drove by Burger King the other day and I was like, oh my God, it smells so good.
I swear to God, they pump like chemicals out of their buildings to make
it. Yeah. Oil.
Yeah, the whole, yeah. I mean, it's like I said, it doesn't matter in the big scheme of things. No, it doesn't. Like, yeah. He shouldn't be impeached for it. But come on, bro. Like, it's no one thought that was a bad idea.
So funny. Everything that happens there, aren't you like, whose job is it to
babysit?
Tell you that this is a terrible fucking idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Melania's pith helmet or her I really don't care jacket. Like, how does no one tell you, like, hey, don't do that.
Right.
Don't do that. Just don't do it.
Well, when is someone going to tell him that he's not a fucking king? Like, I won't even go down the rabbit hole of the whole that he kept entire discussions with Putin out of the, it wouldn't even let his White House staff see it. Like, that is such an authoritarian bullshit move. You can't, all right, real quick. You can't do, you, whether you like it or not, you work for the American people. Now, if you had something super sensitive that, like, if it got out into the press, it could, you know, you were giving away where spies were and they could be bombed and killed or whatever. Or let's say someone had a severe health problem and they're one of our allies and they, you don't want to cause global panic. And they tell you, hey, I just got diagnosed with lymphoma. We're handling it. I haven't released a statement to the press yet. Yeah, you keep that under wraps. Mm-hmm. But you know what you don't do? You don't keep your entire transcript of your conversation to one of the world's most evil men hidden from even your own staff. You are not a fucking king. You just aren't. If you want to have a monarchy, go buy a fucking island with your bullshit Monopoly money and run around over there ordering people around. That's not how America works. For that. That's not how I'm... Oh, to just buy him an island and get rid of him?
Yeah. I'll
Like, that's just...
Shut up and take my money.
That's not how America works. It's just not... You don't get to keep secrets like that. You have to tell the CIA and the FBI what you and the world's worst human discussed. You have to. Mm-hmm. No one explained civics to him, and I don't know how he got out of eighth grade. I just don't know how it happened.
Money. He got out with money.
His mom should have swallowed.
Money.
Wow.
She should have. I mean, let's all be honest. Like, what the fuck, man?
Stacey, what are you obsessed with?
That's super funny. Okay. This week, I am obsessed with... Well, first of all, my dog is acting like a batshit lunatic
always,
right now.
Always.
Well, right. I'm it's just so funny. Okay, so I am obsessed with the fact that I am 32 years old, and I am still surprised by my period. So, this is going to sound so stupid.
You've had it for half your life. Over half your life.
Right? So, I was like, I'm doing this new diet thing and less about losing weight, more about just trying to get my stomach to work again. And I'm doing it, but I know someone else is doing it. She's lost weight and everybody else loses weight. And I'm like, I'm not, like, I started to lose weight and then I gained it all back and I don't know what's happening. And then I was like grouchy and then I was trying to like snack on things I wasn't supposed to eat. And I got home and I was like, God, my back really hurts. I'm like, I haven't pooped in like 3 days. And I literally got my period the next day and I was like, how did I not... How did I not see that? Like, how did I not connect those dots?
I've totally done that.
Don't you have an app?
Well, yeah, but I wasn't paying attention to any of it. And I just was like, oh, I'm having all these unrelated symptoms. And I wasn't paying attention because December has 31 days. So in my mind, like, thinking forward, I'm like, oh, it'll be next week. But I'm like, God, I'm just gaining weight. All I want to do is snack. Like, this commercial made me cry. Like, I wasn't connecting any of these fucking
dots.
42. Like, how is that a surprise? If that happened. And I wasn't just like, I'm super bloated. Oh, period. And like, nope, none of it. Still surprised by that after, you know, I got my period when I was like 13. So
Lex and I are like on the same schedule. So, well, we're like 3 days apart. So it's like it's like the longest 10 days ever in this house.
Yeah.
It's also the quietest because we're just like silently irritated with each other. And we know we don't have any real valid reason to be because we both know we're going to get our period. So it's like, what's wrong? Nothing. No, really. What's wrong? Nothing. Because you know, it's going to sound ridiculous when it comes out of your mouth. Yep. But you're just like, look, I'm about to start my period. That's one of the good things about being with a girl because you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, no, I get it. That's fine. Like, yeah, I'm just going to leave you alone.
Guys, that part is really hard when you're like,
but she like,
I'm just really upset with you because of my vagina. Like, it doesn't make any sense, but I feel like, yeah, with a girl, they're like, oh.
Well,
yeah.
She comes down off her PMS, and then, like, I hit mine, so it's, like, a real contentious few days. I mean, we don't really fight about anything, but it's just, like, we're more irritable, I guess is the right word. So I'll be like, oh, you're just gonna slam the cupboard? And she's like, no, I didn't slam it, I just shut it. And I'm like, sure. And afterwards, I'm like, I'm sorry, that wasn't That wasn't necessary.
I feel like as long as you say sorry after it's over, it's like null and void.
Well, but because you can be like, I'm totally PMSing. And she goes, Yeah, cool. It's fine.
Husbands do that too.
But here's the thing. I don't even really get like bitchy. I just get like emotional. Like I get weepy.
Yep.
Where I'm like, well, someone's telling a story and they're like, yeah. And then like the high school won the thing and the kids were so proud of themselves. And I'm like, Tell me more about it. Like how they feel.
I don't get bitchy. Like, I get
I just started crying thinking about it.
I don't get bitchy. I'm easier to aggravate, I guess, is the like if everything goes fine, like in how I want it to, then I'm fine. But like if anything goes, I get stuff that would never bother me, I'm immediately like, ugh. But I don't get like, I don't know. I have certain little like triggers that I lose my shit over when I'm on my period, but
I put on like not like no joke, like 5 pounds of water weight.
Everyone does.
I get so freaking bloated and then I like try and get dressed in the morning and I'm like, I'm so fat, no one will love me. Like it's bad. A song comes on the radio and I'm like, that's really unfortunate that his baby won't come back.
Baby, come back.
It's the worst.
All right. I am obsessed with I am driving up to Connecticut tomorrow. So Jean and I can work on Spellbound.
It's crazy to me. You could just drive to another state also.
Yeah, like real quick.
Like how long does that take to drive to?
Actually, it's going to take me about 5 hours to get to Connecticut, but I'll go through like 3 states on my way there. So it's, so I'm looking forward to it. We're going to work on Spellbound. I'm also going to be working on Elimination. And then I should be back Sunday unless we're in the middle of kind of, we're at the very beginning tipping point of kind of a bad snowstorm. So if it's real bad, I'll stay up there. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm really going to miss Lincoln, which I wasn't really prepared for. First I thought like, oh, I'm going to get away. And I was like kissing him goodnight tonight. And I'm like, I'm going to miss you so much, which I wasn't, I wasn't ready for that. Cause he's just like, bye mom, like smiling at me. So, I'll see him in the morning, but yeah, so I'm looking forward to it. We're like halfway through the book right now. It's going to be fun. So how's everyone's wine?
Good. I got tipsy.
Yeah, we know.
Off of one can. I brought 2 cans up because I didn't know if it was going to be good or not. It's 12.8% alcohol.
That's pretty low.
So, hey, yo. I don't know how that happened. I'm debating top secret information for our listeners. Sometimes we continue talking after we're done recording. So if we're going to do that, I'm going to have a second can. I really like it. I would highly recommend it. It's fizzy, but not too fizzy. It's not super dry, but it's not super sweet. Like, I'm a big fan.
Okay.
And I really was, like, going to go with this whole, I'm trying to be healthy. So I was going to get the Skinny Girl wines, which I'll do in a future episode. But then I, in my mind, because I was like, oh, it'll totally, no, listen, it'll go with this whole, like, oh, I'm trying to be healthy. So in my mind, I was like, a can is perfect. Because it's regulating your serving. And then I brought 2 cans with me.
Stace has your wine.
It's good. I would recommend it. It's kind of like one of those red blend table wines. Like you can totally just drink it and it's whatever.
Perfect for a Tuesday.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like the red blends are the best if you, especially, and we can test this when you come visit. If you're going to drink like consistently red wine, like a lot in one night and you try to even out your like water to wine ratio, if you stick with a red blend, you are way less likely to have a hangover the next morning.
I agree.
That's why we drink it.
Yeah.
Don't get a Pinot Noir. Don't get a cab. You stick with that red blend and water.
I just would have really liked to have been in like the marketing meeting for the Tuesday night red. And they're like, what's the best night of the week? Like Friday night, Saturday night?
They probably know it's not fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, let's just market it as that.
And they're like, no, we're a Tuesday.
With dinner and
not strong enough for a Sunday.
Love after lockup. Yeah. Because it's Tuesday. That's all it is.
We're shooting for the Tuesday demographic. Like, what kind of bitches drink Tuesday night red wine? That's who we're going after.
And I'll slowly raise our hand.
Mine's really, really good. I don't normally like Syrahs of any kind, but this is really good. And it actually makes me feel pretty good about buying it because it's sustainably raised. Like, I switched to bar shampoo and bar conditioner to try and lower like my carbon footprint and stuff. So this is really good. I'm enjoying it.
Oh, can I say one more thing?
You have 45 seconds.
I got a scalp massager, like a shampoo brush.
Yeah.
Manual, does this, first of all.
It's manual, huh?
It's got a little handle. Oh, hold on. And it's got little silicone spikes all over it. So
she named it manual?
Dirty bird. Dirty birds. No, it's a brush that's got a handle, and you put your shampoo in, and then you use it to like massage all your shampoo into your scalp. And holy shit, has it made the biggest difference? I get a lot of dry skin on my scalp in the winter,
sure,
and it totally gets rid of all that. And it's the best. I would never put that spiky piece of plastic near my vagine. Just FYI.
Oh, okay. Well, you named it manual, so.
You dirty bird.
All right. Until next week, we hope you guys have a great weekend and drink some Friday night wine.
Yeah.
Do it. Splurge.
Do it.
Do it. Save the Tuesday night wine for Monday night.
Yeah.
I wish you guys could see what Stacey was doing right now because it's weird. All right. Have a good weekend, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. This